HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condominium and HOA questions, so give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our seminars, and see who the show's sponsors are, and visit all their websites as well.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm, Glazer & Associates, directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call us at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. And the law firm's website address is condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com.
Well, last show we spoke about upside-down housing prices, rising rent prices, a diehard hockey fan who took on his HOA, and it felt like we took about a million calls about leaks, foreclosures, bad banks, noisy neighbors, and terrible tenants. No doubt about it. Sometimes it seems that condo boards have more to deal with on a day-to-day basis than Congress does.
Yeah, and that was just the first half of the show last week, Karen, no question. And after the show, I got to tell you, I felt like I had just taken like 3 law school final exams, and each week I always get comments and questions emailed to me about the show. And despite all our brilliant and well-thought-out answers to so many questions last week, Harvey from Plantation writes in that he thought the best part of the show last week was when Scott compared the current Republican field of presidential candidates to the last few girls at the school prom who haven't been asked to dance yet. And the funny thing is, Harvey's the president of a condo we represent. So now I'm wondering if we're hired by Harvey because of our jokes or because of our knowledge of the law. I don't know now. I got to question myself.
Yeah, what's the difference? You know, I guess we're here to provide information for everybody on a weekly basis. But, you know, we're also here to get clients. So right. Whatever works, let's do it.
Yeah, you're right. If humor gets us clients, then we do knock-knock jokes all day if we have to, right? No problem. But, you know, that's the practical answer. But my ego's at stake here, you know. I got to know.
I got to know.
Yeah, your ego. I think you, I'm sorry. If your ego's at stake, we're in trouble. I'm guessing it's the jokes because, you know, it sure as heck ain't the brains.
Yeah, nice. Well, despite what you think there, Mr. Shapiro, I'm still going to update our listeners on what's going on in the field of condo and HOA law this week. Interestingly enough, you know that law that allows the condos to demand that the tenant of a delinquent owner pay the association the condo assessments each month if the owner isn't paying their condo dues, right? We spoke about that about a million times in the show. Well, 2 weeks ago, the legislature made that law even more powerful by allowing the association to demand that the tenant pay all of their rent to the association.
Wow.
Yeah, and not just a monthly amount of the condo dues if the unit owner is delinquent in assessments to the association. But here's the irony about the new law. Last week, a lawsuit was filed in federal court in Fort Lauderdale challenging the constitutionality of the law because, what do we know? The landlord loses his or her right to collect rent from his or her own tenant without even being entitled to a hearing first. We've always spoken about that on the show.
You know, it's funny, Eric, because another provision in 718 makes it clear that if a fining committee wants to fine you even, you know, $100, you're entitled to a hearing before non-board members. But this rent statute doesn't even entitle you to a hearing before the association is allowed to, you know, interfere with an actual contract between a landlord and a tenant and collect the rent directly from the tenant. The landlord never gets the opportunity to say, hey, I don't owe any money. You guys made a mistake. Or, you know, maybe you got me confused with somebody else. And then before the association just goes in and takes their money.
Due process, right? Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not in favor of letting delinquent owners keep rent from their tenants when they owe the association money. I don't think I have to even say that, of course. But associations make mistakes, like Scott says. Management companies make mistakes. Law firms make mistakes, believe it or not. Whoa. Absolutely. So the landlord, I think, should be entitled to some due process before the association is allowed to take that rent from the tenant. I think the association should certainly have a right to ask a judge to force the tenant to pay the rents to the association, which, by the way, they already have that right to do that under the statute. But this law probably goes too far, and I, for one, wouldn't be surprised to see it declared unconstitutional. And I'll go even further and say I'd be surprised if it wasn't declared unconstitutional.
Well, you know, you can also check the record, and you can do that at www.condocrazeandhoas.com, because back in July, when this law was passed, we came out on the show and said that there is some constitutional concerns with the law. And sure enough, here's the lawsuit that's going to let us know if we were right.
And well, I think we're going to be right.
Well, what about the law that allows the board to prevent delinquent owners from using the common areas? I'm guessing that law may be subject to constitutional attack as well.
And you would be right, Karen, absolutely, for the very same reasons. Remember, you know, especially when it comes to that statute, every unit owner actually owns a share of the common elements, and the law as it stands now, it allows the association to prevent someone from using the common areas, again, that they own, without the right to any due process whatsoever, no hearing, no nothing. And if the law that allows the association to take the landlord's rent is struck down as unconstitutional because the landlord isn't given due process, then no doubt this law is going to fail too, and we'll be back to the drawing board. And the legislature, quite frankly, can waste more time passing unconstitutional laws and laws that don't apply to associations that don't have that future amendments language. But I think in Florida, we're certainly quickly learning that the legislature thinks they control condo law, but they really are losing their control and losing their ground quickly, too. And it's funny because all of these court battles are really detracting from the fact that many of these measures wouldn't be so desperately needed if the legislature actually did the right thing and stood up to the banks and made them pay more when they foreclose, or force them to escrow for condo assessments like they do for real estate taxes, for instance, or force them to start paying assessments from the day they file a foreclosure complaint. That was spoken about many times but never came through. But instead, they're up there passing silly laws that won't pass constitutional muster, and the owners and associations wind up fighting each other, when instead, really, we should all be joining forces and going after the lenders when appropriate. That's the problem. But how about we take our first call from Catherine from Lake Worth? Catherine, you there?
Hello?
How about it, Catherine? You there? All right. It seems like we lost Catherine. How about we go to George? George, are you there?
George,
you there? Okay, perhaps.
Hello.
Is this Catherine or George? Certainly sounds like Catherine.
This is Catherine.
Catherine, hello. How are you? Okay.
Yeah, fine.
How can we help
my
you?
My question is, if the board votes on a policy change, is there some requirement that they have to post that and post the effective date and give the unit owners 30 days to change that policy?
Well, when you say a policy change, do you mean a change to the rules and regulations?
Yes, viewing the records.
Okay, in terms of reviewing records, yes, that should be done by, it doesn't require, it's not a change to rules regarding unit use, so I would think simply a 48-hour notice should be required for the board to adopt the new procedure. To adopt that rule and regulation.
The meeting, and it can go in effect immediately. Can't go retroactive.
No,
though,
not retroactive. No, but they can. They must have a 48-hour posting, and at that meeting, they can vote on that new rule.
Okay.
48 hours is all that's required.
Another thing: if they have taken or filed in small claims about money owed from a unit owner.
Right.
And they find out it's an error in their own accounting records, can they charge that unit owner the legal fees that they had to pay to file in small claims?
Absolutely not. If they wind up dropping that case because of an error in their math and they went after an owner for nothing, even if they file a voluntary dismissal of that lawsuit, with or without prejudice, either way, that unit owner is going to become the prevailing party in that lawsuit, and the unit owner is going to be able to get back his or her attorney's fees from the association. So forget about the unit owner paying the condo fees. It's the other way around. the condo is going to wind up paying that unit owner's attorney's fees.
Okay, thank you much.
Okay, you got it. All right, how about now we see if George is there.
George, hello, this is George.
How are you, George?
Very good, sir. How's everybody?
Okay, we are good. How can we help you?
I live at Century Village, and I'm new on my board. And a question was proposed to me the other day, and it relates to one of our owners actually stopped paying their condo dues to us and then stopped paying the note on their condo.
Okay.
She moved out and is in an assisted living facility.
Okay.
Now, can the lender foreclose on us if we foreclose on her? I mean, could he come after us to possibly pay her monthly note?
No, the bank is, if the note is not getting paid, the mortgage is not getting paid, the bank's going to file a foreclosure action naming the naming the condo association as an additional defendant in the case. But not because they expect or want the condo association to pay the note. It's simply so that when they foreclose, they get back clear title to the condominium unit. But you will be named as a defendant.
Okay.
And when the association, go ahead. Well, all right. What I was saying is, when they foreclose and get back title, then they're going to wind up being responsible for, you know, either 6 months or 1 year of assessments, or 1% of that mortgage, whichever is less.
Which will be 1%.
Okay, so 3 weeks ago, you mentioned that we could actually rent her place out and use that money to fund our painting account. We're trying to paint our building.
Right. Now, let me stop you there. Let me stop you for a second. The only way you're going to be able to rent out that unit is you have to foreclose first. You can't even though that you know that she's not there anymore, that doesn't give you the right to kind of go in and rent out her unit. She still owns it. So the association has to get back title. So you're going to foreclose. You'll get back title. And, yes, you can rent out that unit in the interim between the time that you wind up owning it as the association till the time that the bank winds up foreclosing and getting title back. In that period of time, the association can rent it out, absolutely.
So if we hired you, could you find out if the bank started foreclosing?
Absolutely. And that's a matter of public record in the county in which the property is located. Are you in Palm Beach or Broward?
Palm Beach.
Okay. Something we can check out on that's something that can be checked out on the Palm Beach Circuit Court's website. No big deal. Call us at the office at 954-983-1112. Again, 954- 954-983-1112. George, we got to go. Right, I appreciate
the
call.
Thank you very much, sir.
You got it, George. But
we're going
to go to
our program.
Thank you so much. We are going to be going to our first break. It's that part of the hour. Give us a call here at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I guess the world didn't end yesterday because we're here and we are getting calls. So.
Yeah, it was supposed to end on my wife's birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to my wife, Mikkel. Yeah, the world was supposed to end on her birthday yesterday, but that didn't happen, to the dismay of many condo presidents and HOA presidents, I guess.
Yes.
But how about we, again, we're taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. How about we go to Jim from Pompano. Jim, how are you? How are you, Jim?
Good, good. I have a question. We're going to go into concrete restoration. Who's responsible for the tiles on the balcony and the shutters?
Tiles on the balcony and the shutters for concrete repair. There's some arbitration cases out there. I believe, Scott, tell me if you think I'm right on this one. There's some arbitration cases out there that say, if the person bought the unit from the developer, I know, and it came with certain tiles on the balcony, then it's going to be the responsibility of the condominium association to replace those tiles. Yeah. I believe that's only if that's how exactly it came when the unit was purchased.
Yeah, but if any modifications were made or you change it just to, you know, enhance what the developer originally put there, you may not be covered.
Right. So. And you may wind up having to replace those tiles on your own. Okay? That's
right,
generally the law.
The
as in, you're saying, did you have hurricane-resistant shutters already that were approved by the building?
Everybody had to get them because of the insurance. We made a motion in the board. Everybody has to get shutters to cut our insurance.
Okay, and what happened?
Well, everybody got them, but I was just curious now if they have to take them down if they do the concrete restoration.
What most condominium associations will do is they will include that when they do the concrete restoration project, they will make sure that the company who's actually performing that service includes that in the price of the restoration. So they will be responsible for taking them down and putting them back up. That's probably the best way to do it. Include it in the contract. Okay?
Right. Okay.
All right.
Fine. Thank you very much
Hope
for your
that
time.
Answers your question, Jim. Thanks for listening.
It does. Thank you.
No problem. Hey, before we went to the break, we were talking about the Florida legislature, and before we get off that topic, everybody should know that Senator Mike Fasano's office was kind enough to contact us this week and follow up on him being a guest on the show, and that very well may be the case next Sunday, so stay tuned. I'm going to try to work that out with his office this coming week, and certainly we'd appreciate him being a guest on the show. Interesting story out of Los Angeles this week, too. The city of L.A. sued Deutsche Bank May 4th and is seeking reimbursement for costs of property repair. The city actually accused the bank of buying more than 2,200 properties through foreclosure and then letting these vacant buildings fall into disrepair, causing the city to pay for the cost of the cleanup. And ironically, the day before they actually filed suit, the U.S. government also alleged in a lawsuit against the bank and that they're seeking $1 billion in damages, alleging that the Frankfurt-based bank lied to qualify thousands of risky mortgages for a government insurance program.
Oh, shut up. A bank actually lied?
Can you imagine?
Come on. Let's just face it. There's just a lot of properties right now that banks aren't taking care of, whether or not they actually own the properties or they've been sitting on their foreclosure actions and the place has just been vacated and it's gone into disrepair. It sounds kind of familiar to a lot of the things that are going around here, doesn't it, Eric?
Yeah, it certainly does. And I got to tell you, if one thing out there drives me nuts, it's when I meet with a new community and I'm quickly told that some banks took back units through foreclosure and they're not paying the assessments and they're letting the property fall into disrepair. And unfortunately, it's a story that's told to me all too often. So I'm going to repeat the law again and again until everybody gets this. When a bank take back ownership of a property, they become an owner like everybody else, and that means they have the same responsibilities as all the other owners do in your community, and that is, of course, to keep the property looking neat and clean and to pay assessments, even special assessments. As a matter of fact, some communities, smartly and rightly so, plan their strategies around waiting for the banks to take back some ownership of units before they actually wind up passing a special assessment. So at least they know when they pass it, it's going to be bank-owned, and you know the banks have the money, so they can pay the special assessments. And if the bank doesn't do those things, they don't keep the property in repair, they don't pay their assessments, you foreclose right back on the bank, you bring them to court, and you can force them to fix up the place. And if they lose, the bank not only has to pay or fix up the place, they also are responsible for paying back the association costs and attorney's fees that the association incurs in going after them.
You would think that if there's one defendant that should be sued first, it's the bank. Because like Dillinger said when he was asked why he robs banks, it's because they have all the money.
Absolutely, Karen. You're 100% right. Board members who are listening out there, do not be intimidated by any banks that own units in your condo or HOA community. They have the money to pay you every dollar you're owed. And I can tell you that in our office, we successfully foreclosed against banks and we obtained orders from judges requiring the bank to make repairs to properties. So if you have any questions about any of this, call us at the office at 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112, and we would be honored to help you out. Interesting article Also this week in the Daily Business Review, that hits a little too close to home maybe, because according to this article, the Florida Bar is, or at least was, investigating a Florida lawyer for telling CNN that foreclosure courts throughout the state of Florida have adopted a system of ramming foreclosure cases through final judgment and sale with very little regard to the rule of law. And the same lawyer also said that what I'm seeing now is an attack upon the citizens of the state of Florida by retired judges. Now, the article tries to point out that lawyers who criticize the court system get investigated, while on the other hand, at present, none of the attorneys who are actually accused of participating in all of the foreclosure fraud and robo-signing cases are facing disciplinary charges. Pretty interesting.
Mm. And when this lawyer received a letter from the Florida Bar asking him to explain his comments to the CNN reporter, he was quoted as saying, "This is a joke, right? I have a First Amendment right to free speech. I've said a lot worse and been more pointed in my speech in the past. CNN actually toned down my comments."
Yeah, this guy's certainly brave. You got to respect where he's coming from. We actually had a funny situation over the past 2 weeks with one of the retired judges. We had a foreclosure case. I think it was in Martin County.
No, it wasn't. It was actually a little bit more south of that, but not in the Tri-County area.
Oh, not in the Tri-County area. Well, long story short, actually, Scott wound up hearing the case. And a client of ours was seeking to foreclose on a mortgage that he had on about 7 or 8 different residential units in the community. And the judge said, because it's more than one, it's a commercial foreclosure, and the retired judge wouldn't hear it. Strange. Anyway, give us a call, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
And HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls, and we are stacked at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Let's start with Joanne in Boca Raton.
How are you, Joanne?
Hi. I was just listening before. You said that when somebody forecloses, the bank picks up all of the assessments in the HOA. What if you're in a short sale and you haven't paid for, let's say, 6-7 months? Once you have short sale, does the bank pick up that 6 months where you haven't paid the assessments or the HOAs?
Okay. In other words, a unit owner who hasn't paid for a while wants to actually short sale their home, and the condo is going to have to decide whether or not to take less from that from the actual sale of that unit. Normally, most of the time, that's what the condo is asked to do or the HOA is asked to do. Scott looks like he's chomping at the bit to answer this question.
I want to just clarify something. It's not when a bank forecloses they become responsible. It's when they've actually taken title back to the property after the foreclosure case do they become responsible for the month-to-month maintenance assessments that the unit incurs. When they file the foreclosure action, they're not liable for any of those payments until they take title to the unit back. And even when they take title to the unit back, they're only liable at that time for the past 6 months or 12 months of past due maintenance assessments, depending upon when the mortgage was signed.
Or 1%, whichever's less. Yeah, but typically in a short sale situation, our office's counsel for the association is going to get a call either from a broker or from the seller or from the bank saying, hey, we know there's a year or 2 years of assessments that are owed on this property. Would the association consider taking, instead of the 1 year, would you take 6 months so that we can get the property sold to a new buyer? Some associations take the position that, no, we're not negotiating with anybody. You know, we don't care if we let the sale fall through. Maybe the other side is bluffing. Some associations say, yes, we'd rather take the 6 or 8 months that they're offering, because if this winds up continuing in foreclosure, we may not get any money for the next year or two. So probably some sort of a settlement in a short sale is probably, in most situations, in the best interest of the association. Bird in the hand at this point, okay?
But will the bank pick up those, let's say, 6 months
again
that the person has not paid?
Yeah, if the association consents, again, to the sale going through, and let what the association will do is they'll typically take a little bit less, and it will totally wipe out everything that's owed on the unit. So it will be going to a new buyer, and that new buyer starts with a clean slate.
Okay.
That's generally how it works, Joanne.
All right. Thank you so
much. Okay, you got it. Phones are stacked. Okay, who's next? We got, how about Leonora from Boynton Beach?
Yes, that's me.
How are you, Leonora?
Hello.
How are you? You're on the air.
I'm just fine, thank you. My question is, I have a home in a homeowners association, and the edge of my property borders a large, very busy avenue, and that has sidewalks. And there is an easement for utilities on the property. And they recently brought in a great deal of equipment, and in doing so, tore down the whole homeowners association. All the property has a high hedge around the property. And when they came in to put in their new equipment, they tore down a large portion of the hedge, which in a sense protected me from the traffic going by. I gave me some assurance or some security because it's very high. And now the utility company replaced some of the hedge, and they died because they weren't taken care of. And then they replaced them again, and then I tried to water them myself, running a hose from my outside faucet to the hedge, but they died too. I just wondered who I would like to do something to replace the hedge, and I don't know whose responsibility I would prefer a fence, because with the drought and all, it seems that all the bushes that are being replaced are dying.
Right. Well, a fence might not be allowed because it may be considered like a material alteration that would require a vote by the unit owners. But it seems to me, you asked who's responsible. The fact that the utility company has replaced the hedges more than one time in the past tells me that they wouldn't have taken responsibility were they not responsible under that easement agreement. So it seems to me that obviously it's going to be up to them to figure out how to make this work and get those hedges back.
Okay.
And your association, by and through their law firm, may want to make a demand upon the utility company to do just that.
I should go back to the manager, because I have talked to the manager about this problem, the fact that I'm still open and people have actually used that used that open area now to walk onto my property and use it as a shortcut to some of the homes here.
Well, now it's actually a security issue. The way you're describing
it
now,
is.
It's a security issue for you.
It is a security issue.
So what I would do is I'd write a letter that you should write, certified mail return receipt requested to your board, explaining what the situation is and now telling them that you think it's a life, health, and safety issue because people are now cutting across your property in an attempt to save time. So make a demand that they fix it, and then they should turn that demand on to the utility company. Okay, but I wish you luck, Leonora. You have any questions about
it? Thank you very much.
Call us at the office, 954-983.
Oh, I already took your number down.
You got it.
Because if I don't get anything from the board, you'll hear from me.
Thanks, Leonora.
At your 954 number.
All right, you got it. Thanks again.
Okay.
All right, how about we go to Bill from Boca Raton. How are you, Bill?
Hi, very good. Thank you very much.
No problem. How can we help you?
Okay. The association has reopened the Wilma claim, and prior to reopening it, they declined to reopen it. So there were five of us that went ahead and had our sliding doors and windows examined by a company to see if it was caused by Wilma, and it was. So anyway, they then decided to go ahead and reopen the claim. So we were charged $300 each by the testing company. And so my question is, can we claim this $300 against the association?
Can you claim the $300 for actually participating in the cost of hiring the adjuster or hiring the company who claimed that this damage to your windows was from the hurricane?
Because if we hadn't submitted the results of this claim, the claim wouldn't have been reopened.
Well, I'm thinking that the whole cost of hiring that expert to make that determination, probably a cost that should have been borne by the association and not necessarily any particular unit owner.
They came in after we hired our people, and they brought in their own person to come back and recheck what the first one did, and they paid him.
Right. Well, again, the way I see it, though, this is a claim that the insured on the policy is the condo association. So I don't see how the individual unit owners should have come out of pocket for only those units that are in question. If common areas were damaged, then the cost of hiring an expert to prove that should be a common expense of the association and not just the few homeowners at issue who suffered the damage. Okay?
So the $300, we should be able to get back.
I think
correct?
You certainly have a shot at it, yes.
Okay.
All right.
Hey,
thanks
you
for your
much.
Call, Bill. All right, how about we go to J.C. from North Miami?
Hi, Eric. This is JC. I think we know each other.
I think
can
we
I
do.
Call you Eric, or yeah. I call you Master Eric?
Master Eric is fine. No, Eric is fine.
Now, because in Europe, we used to address the attorney or the lawyer as a master.
As master.
And I know here.
And with some South American clients, actually, doctors actually,
really?
Referred to once in a while. And with some angry clients, there's even other words that they call us by. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. We are not talking about that. All right, let's go right to the condominium stuff. I'm going to make it very simple. I am on the board, and do I have a right to ask for monetary compensation or a salary or a payback of the expense or my gasoline as a board member? Can I ask for that?
No, that
it
goes
is legal?
Goes without saying. Board members serve without compensation. That's in the statute. Board members serve without compensation under Florida Statute 718. Unless your bylaws, I believe, say otherwise. But very few and far between where you'll find bylaws that actually give the members the right to actually collect any sort of compensation.
Thankless job.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, so it means that is you have to be benevolent, all right?
I'm sorry, you have to be?
Benevolent means that you have to decide to work for free or to spend the time or whatever. But
that's exactly.
There is no compensation, correct?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It doesn't always turn out that way, but that's exactly the way it should be. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in case there is a vote for somebody to be paid during a board meeting, can I withdraw myself?
Say that again. I missed the question.
The board?
Say
let's
that.
Say the question is: one of the board members want to be paid by the association, and I don't feel comfortable. And most likely, we have to talk to that about that in front of the people.
Right.
Even though there is condominium law that are changing where they call also for personal private meetings.
So you're asking,
asking
if you should not vote on the issue? Why not just vote no? You're against it because the statute forbids it.
Can I don't go to the board meeting that night,
Why not go there and actually vote against it? By the way, I'll read you the statute that's at issue. Unless otherwise provided in the bylaws, the officers shall serve without compensation and at the pleasure of the Board of Administration. And unless otherwise provided in the bylaws, the members of the board shall serve without compensation. So the first thing you need to do is even find out if your bylaws allowed for compensation. My guess is it does not. So you don't even get to really have a meeting on the issue. It's an open and shut situation. Okay?
Okay, so meeting is not allowed according to our bylaws, correct?
You can't have a vote to... You can't have a vote to award compensation if your documents don't get you there in the first place. But we got to go to a break. We are taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro, taking your calls 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, a little while ago we were talking about an interesting situation in which the Florida Bar was alleged in an article might have been investigating an attorney or two for making some statements about the foreclosure system in Florida, and the actual rule of professional conduct at issue out there provides the following. The rule says that a lawyer shall not make a statement that the lawyer knows to be false or with reckless disregard as to its truth or falsity concerning the qualifications or integrity of a judge, mediator, arbitrator, adjudicatory officer, public legal officer, juror or member of the veneer, or candidate for election or appointment to judicial or legal office. So needless to say, at least to me, what that rule says or what it means is that you don't accuse somebody of being a crook or being incompetent if you have no proof, because if you do, you will be disciplined, and rightfully so. But that's a lot different than a foreclosure defense attorney saying that the current foreclosure system may be broken and needs a fix. In fact, there's probably a lot of judges out there who believe there may be a better way for the courts to deal with the foreclosure crisis, too, and not just this one particular lawyer.
Yeah, in fact, the article quoted Bob Jarvis, who's a professor at Nova Southeastern, who said, "I'm a big believer in the First Amendment. I believe lawyers should be able to criticize the judicial system. Who knows better what is going on inside than lawyers? This could have a chilling effect on those who need their law licenses or wind up living under a bridge. It sends a bad message because the bar should welcome criticism on how the courts and the bar could do things better."
Yeah, and that lawyer's last words in the article were, "I told them from the beginning, if this is to shut me up, it's going to do the opposite. I feel strongly about protecting consumers, and I know what I know. The Florida Bar and the legislature are manipulated by the banking industry." You know, you take that sentence, you stop right there, I think. We had many legislators on the show who will certainly take the position that the banking industry controls Tallahassee. You know, again, we've heard it, quite frankly, out of the horse's mouth. So I don't know if I really have a problem with what the lawyer said.
So yeah. I guess I'm the only one on the show who can criticize the court system. They can't disbar me.
Yeah, that's true, Karen. And like I said, that bar rule at issue, at least it's pretty clear to me. And after reading the article, my first thought was, wow, this attorney makes one comment about the system and he's facing discipline. What are they going to do to an attorney who's been talking about it for 2 years on the radio?
Oh.
You know, I'm probably too old now to try and be the Yankee shortstop. And this law thing is, like, really all I know. So I think I can safely say, though, that we can certainly talk on the show about ways to improve the court system in a dignified manner without disparaging any judge, arbitrator, or mediator. And we will always continue to do so on the show and are, in fact, honored to be able to intelligently discuss the problems that face the courts of this state with all of our listeners week in and week out.
And, you know, as Eric said, you've heard it from the horse's mouth here on the show. We've had a number of people, you know, House of Representative members and other legislatures, and every week you do hear it from the horse's other end with Eric. So so even if Glazer has to do the show from cell block D at the Florida State Prison, I'm guessing he'll figure out a way to smuggle a microphone in there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What do you mean if Eric has to do the show from cell block D? I'm not going alone. You and Christy are my partners in crime. So if I go to cell block D, you guys are joining me.
Let me tell you, I'd sell you out so fast. Yeah, right. Make your head spin.
He'd flip on me. Imagine that.
Yeah.
All we've been through. Well, coincidentally, of course, the Palm Beach Post reported this week that it now takes more than a year and a half for the average foreclosure to get through the system, nearly four times the pace it took in 2007, and analysts say the timetable will probably increase. In fact, Florida is significantly higher than the national average, and if that doesn't open up the floor to some debate, I don't know what does.
Again, I'm just shocked to hear about this kind of news, Eric.
Right.
Not only are the amounts of foreclosures way up since 07, but lots of plaintiff banks have gotten caught with doing, you know, shoddy paperwork and robo-signing and criminal investigations, which just kept adding to these incredible delays. You
well,
know?
It seems as if the pace picked up again, because in Florida there was a 9% jump in April in the amount of new filings, and this was actually the first increase since November. Palm Beach County actually increased 71% from March to April.
Amazing. And on top of this, we're dealing with budget cuts to the court system, and a battle between the legislative and judicial branch about court funding, and this is all happening at a time when obviously the courts need more funding and more judges than ever. And my take on this is the longer this foreclosure crisis drags on, the more the economy is going to suffer, and we need to get these cases closed and behind us quickly, and then let the market work itself out naturally with all of the homes that are going to be on the market. I'm guessing prices will eventually get to the point where lots of buying will actually take place, and that can and will help the economy down here. But if the delays in foreclosures keep continuing, really everybody's going to suffer. And as all of our listeners in condos and HOAs can tell us, who have kept putting up with home after home of non-paying unit owners, again, week after week, month after month, and now year after year. So who knows? Hopefully things will get better in the next legislative session. New governor certainly going to be put to the task. He's already under the gun. You guys see him throw out the first pitches at some baseball games?
Yeah.
Yeah, not exactly to an overwhelming round of applause. Yeah, but
and if we hear from State Senator Fasano, I'm sure he'll have some interesting things to say about his work with the new governor.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And all right, well, we find ourselves at the end of another week. Lots of great calls again. And if we don't say it enough, we are really flattered to be here week in and week out answering your questions and talking with you about things that are important in your lives.
Thank you.
Join us again next week, Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week, everybody.